Let us turn to our Bibles, and we read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17, and beginning at the first verse. Luke, chapter 17, from verse 1, these words in this chapter, most of them are from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Luke 17 from verse 1. Let us pay careful attention to the reading of God's holy word. Then he, that is the Lord Jesus, said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant ploughing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.' Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Amen. We close our reading at verse 19 of Luke chapter 17. We know that God blesses the reading of his holy word to the hearts of his people. You may find it helpful to turn once again to that passage that we read, and it's the latter part of the narrative that we're considering today, from verse 11 to verse 19 in Luke chapter 17. Winston Churchill once told a story about a little boy who was playing on a pier. And all of a sudden he fell off the pier into the water. He couldn't swim and he was in danger of drowning. Also on that pier, there was a young soldier who worked there. And when he saw this boy falling into the water and struggling to survive, he jumped into the water himself and swam to the boy. And he put the boy on his shoulders. And then he swam back again to the pier and lifted the boy onto the pier in safety. When he asked the boy, "Where is your mother, your father?" none of them were around. And so he took the boy home and delivered him to his house. And then he just left the house. He didn't meet the parents. He was just thankful to have been able to save this boy's life. A few days later, the parents of the boy came to the pier looking for the soldier who had saved their son's life. They couldn't find him, and they asked around from other people, "Where is that man who saved our boy from drowning?" And so other people there, along with the parents, started looking for him. And finally, some people found him, and they said, "Look, the parents of this boy you saved, they've come to speak to you. I'm sure they want to thank you for what you have done." And the man said, "Oh no, I don't need thanks." But the parents finally found the man, and then they said, the man said to them, "Look, I don't need any kind of reward. I don't need anything from you. Just a thank you is enough for me." And then the parents said to the soldier who'd saved the boy's life, "No, no, we haven't come to give you any kind of reward. We have come to ask you for our son's hat. Where is his hat?" And the young man was shocked, and no doubt the people around were shocked. And the young man said, "I tried to save your son's life. I risked my own life, and I did save your son's life. And now you're asking me for his hat?" "Yes," replied the parents, "we'd really like to have his hat back." And everyone around the parents were thinking, how ungrateful. This young man saved the life of those parents' only child, and all they can think of is asking for their son's hat back. And instead of giving the soldier a reward or even a simple thank you, the parents demanded, "What did you do with our son's hat?" It was the height of ingratitude. And sadly, ingratitude is an ingrained trait in many people. Sometimes we see it in children, but as the example I've given you demonstrates, it's by no means confined to children. You may have had your own personal experience of someone being ungrateful. Perhaps you did a favor for someone, or you got someone out of a rut, or you gave a gift to someone, but not a word or barely a word of thanks or appreciation. And it's very disappointing to see that when it happens in people. Well, in this passage of the cleansing of the 10 lepers, the Lord Jesus had his own experience of ingratitude from others. And it was a very deep ingratitude that the Lord Jesus felt very keenly and took very personally. It disappointed and saddened him that so many people who should have been grateful to him failed to show him any gratitude. And as we come to this passage, we can certainly see why the Lord Jesus would have expected certain people to express their thankfulness to him. And so, in this regard, we come to the first thing that we see in this passage. We see A gracious deed enacted. A gracious deed enacted. That is what we see should have evoked deep gratitude from 10 men. A gracious deed enacted by the Lord Jesus towards them. We're told that the Lord was on his way to Jerusalem. He was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village and he was met by 10 lepers. These lepers stood afar off. The lepers had obviously heard of the Lord Jesus. They'd heard of his power to heal. And when they knew he was near, they raised their voices so that he could hear them, and they called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. There was no doubt in the minds of these men that Jesus had the capability of healing them. The question for them was, would he actually do it? And so they call out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And without hesitation, the Lord told them to go and show themselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed, they were healed, all 10 of them. Now, usually when we read of the Lord Jesus performing miraculous deeds of healing, it's one person at a time that he heals. But here there are 10 people involved, all healed at the same time. They all have a condition which in the days of Jesus was incurable as far as the application of medication was concerned. Their condition was miserable. It would deteriorate with time. The physicians of the day could do nothing for leprosy. But the Lord Jesus healed all 10 of these lepers at once. He didn't ask for anything in return. He didn't ask for money or any kind of favor in return for his kind deed. It was unlikely that these men, being outcasts of Jewish society, could have given anything in return for this kind deed done to them. It was a very gracious deed that the Lord had enacted upon them. It was a deed that would change their lives for the rest of their lives. Before, they were unhealthy, they were in pain. They were officially pronounced unclean. Now they are healthy, they are pain-free, and they are officially pronounced clean by the priests. Before they were ostracized from society, now they could be fully integrated into society. They could go back to their families from which they had been cut off. They could meet people, they could make new friends, they could do work, they now could earn a living, they could live a meaningful life. What a difference to their lives, all because the Lord Jesus had healed these 10 men. And we might imagine that every single one of those men would want to go back to Jesus and thank him from the depths of their heart for what he had done for them. Now, before we come to the response to the healings of these 10 men, let's consider for a moment, first of all, what lesson we can learn, or lessons we can learn from the healings themselves. As with all Jesus' miracles of healings, there are spiritual lessons to be understood and applied. What can we say by way of application is that just as Jesus healed those 10 men of leprosy when they cried out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He, the Lord Jesus, is willing and does heal spiritually those who recognize him as Master or Lord and cry out to him. He healed the 10 men physically when they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And for those who cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me," he is willing to heal such people spiritually. Just as he cleansed those 10 lepers of their disease, their physical disease, so Jesus cleanses from sin all who call out to him for spiritual cleansing, the cleansing of heart and soul. And he has power to do that, and only he has power to do that, because only he has lived through this world without his soul becoming contaminated by sin. He was and is sin-free, unlike anyone else who has ever lived. Therefore, he is qualified to deal with the problem of sin. And as we know, and as Scripture tells us, sin is our greatest problem. Everyone needs cleansed from sin in order to be acceptable to God. That is the terrible disease we all have and need cleansed from. But only those who seek healing through Christ and ask him for healing can be cleansed and healed. As many as seek him and ask him for cleansing and forgiveness of sins, to such he extends his grace. He does cleanse them. He does heal them. So if you have sought him and you have asked him to heal you from your problem of sin, then your spiritual healing is a reality, and you are to believe that. Just as the Lord healed the 10 lepers physically when they asked him, so he has healed you spiritually if you have asked him. This is the gracious deed Christ has enacted for you. And if you have never asked Christ for cleansing from your sins, that is something you really need to do. And it's something you need to do urgently. For without Christ's cleansing, you are no less spiritually sick than these 10 lepers were physically sick. But to be spiritually sick is worse. It is to be expelled from the presence of God. And healing can only take place by coming to Christ. It may be that this is something someone here needs to do, and you can do it and should do it today before it is too late to do it. Let's come to the next stage in the passage. We've looked at a gracious deed enacted, this gracious deed enacted by the Lord Jesus in healing these 10 lepers. The second thing we see in the passage is a great appreciation shown. A great appreciation shown. In verses 15 and 16, we're told that one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Christ's feet, giving him thanks. And then we read, and he was a Samaritan. This man realized the magnitude of what had happened, and he was genuinely thankful for what had been done for him. And he responds in the right way. He goes back to look for Jesus to thank him. He doesn't stop looking for Jesus until he finds him. No doubt Jesus had moved on from that spot where the lepers had been. These men had gone away. They've been cleansed. Jesus is continuing on his journey towards Jerusalem. He has moved on. So this man would have to, in coming back, look for the Lord Jesus, go out of his way to find him. And he does find him. And when he does find him, he falls down on his face in front of Jesus, and with a loud voice, he thanks him. And it wasn't just a casual acknowledgement of thanks. It was from the heart. It was deep, emotional, sincere gratitude expressed in the fullest way. It was an appropriate response that pleased the Lord Jesus. Such a great healing and cleansing as this was ought to have evoked great gratitude. And in this one man, it did. He truly thanked Jesus from the depths of his heart. Something else we see that intensifies the appreciation this man expressed is that little footnote at the end of verse 16. And he was a Samaritan. How interesting that Luke adds that little statement concerning this one man who returned to give thanks for his healing. And he was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans were enemies of one another. This man might have allowed political and racial barriers to dictate to his conscience. He might have said to himself, well, I'm glad about my healing, and I accept that God must have worked through this Jew called Jesus of Nazareth to heal me. But I can give thanks to God without going back to him, without going back to Jesus. Jews are enemies, and this man is a Jew. He might have rationalized his healing that way, this Samaritan man, and not bothered going anywhere near Jesus again. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't allow that political, racial barrier to deter him from doing what is right, going back and truly giving thanks to Jesus for what has happened to him. This indicates to us that there wasn't only a physical change in this man. There was a spiritual change. This man had become right with God. And because he was also changed spiritually, he was empowered to overcome man-made barriers of race and politics. His thanks to God came through Christ. And that was how it should have come to God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That was thanksgiving that was acceptable to God. Those other men who were healed, they may have thanked God, but they refused to do it through Jesus Christ. And their thanksgiving to God would not be acceptable to God. Only this man's thanksgiving was acceptable to God. And what this man did is an example to us all of what every believer ought to do when they've been healed and cleansed from sin. Sin is no light matter. Cleansing from sin and its consequences is such a wonderful privilege for anyone. We should be thankful to God that he has provided a way through Christ whereby it is possible for us to have our sins forgiven. Without Christ and without the cross of Christ, we could not be cleansed and we'd all be left to die in our sins and be under God's condemnation forever and ever. Because of our sins against God. But if you've come to Christ and you've found cleansing from your sins and forgiveness for them, then surely You must be filled with gratitude for what he has done for you. There's something wrong if we're not moved like this leper was moved to seek out Christ and thank him from the very depths of our heart. And not just at conversion. In our post-conversion experience, we do well to take stock of ourselves from time to time and reevaluate Christ's kindness and his grace in cleansing us. And we ought to fall down before him on our knees and give thanks to him for what he has done. Because surely we still find that even though we've been cleansed from sin, we find that this disease comes back again and again, and we need to go again to Christ and plead with him for forgiveness and cleansing. And he has promised that when we do that, then he will forgive us and he will cleanse us again. And therefore, we ought to be filled with thanksgiving. Not just thank God once a year, not just thank Christ occasionally, but often giving him thanks because of what he has done. We're not to be like the other nine who were cleansed and take what we've been given for granted. And that brings us to the third thing we see from this passage of the 10 cleansed lepers. From a gracious deed enacted to a great appreciation shown, we see, thirdly, a reasonable expectation expressed. A reasonable expectation expressed. The Lord Jesus replies to the leper in verses 17 and 18. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? There's an element of surprise in the voice of the Lord Jesus. Of all people to return and give thanks to me, he's saying, I would hardly have expected it to be this one. I would have thought these other 9 would have come back and given thanks to me for what had been done to them. Christ's expectation was that all 10 men should have returned to give glory to God. And it was the height of ingratitude that all 10 had not returned to give thanks to him and to give glory to God. It would appear that the other lepers were Jews, because the one who returned is singled out alone as the foreigner. Of all of the lepers that were cleansed, Jewish ones could offer no excuses for not returning to give thanks. It was a fellow Jew who cleansed them. They were cleansed physically, but their lack of ingratitude exposed that they had a spiritual problem. They were presumptuous. They were ungrateful. Their ingratitude was a sin. This greater problem, their spiritual problem, had not been dealt with. It's only to the Samaritan that Christ says at the end of the narrative, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, the man was already made well physically. And so Christ, at the end of this narrative, surely means more than that this man's faith had made him physically well. His faith had made him spiritually well. The other 9 weren't spiritually well, even though they were by now physically well. And there's a lesson in that also. Because someone might say, Well, I believe I had an encounter with Christ at such and such a time. I felt his presence. I felt that God was speaking to me in that encounter. And someone else might even say, well, I had an encounter with Christ, and I believe that since I've recovered from my illness, that it was really God and Christ who healed me. The 9 lepers could say that. But they did not give glory to God by showing their gratitude to Christ, and as a consequence, they were not healed spiritually. Their ingratitude was the evidence that they were not healed spiritually. Thankfulness, gratitude for cleansing from sin is a mark of spiritual health, of spiritual life. But it can't be faked. It must be from the heart. Christ's reasonable expectation is that we come to him submissively and sincerely, thanking him from the depths of our heart for our cleansing from sin. So let us each one take stock of ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that we've fallen short of God's glory. We have sinned against our Master. Humbly acknowledge your sin. Name your sins individually before the throne of grace. Confess them to God. See what great lengths Christ has gone to forgive you your sins. Believe that he has died for you in order to forgive you, and that was a great cost for him, just so that you could be cleansed and forgiven. And believe that he is able and willing still to forgive you. Let him assure you of his forgiving grace, and then return thanks to him for his goodness to you. Be ever thankful to Christ, for thankfulness is itself a mark of Christ's grace at work within you, as it was within the Samaritan man who was healed of leprosy. And as you thank Christ for your cleansing, he says to you, as he said to this Samaritan man who was healed, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. God bless the proclamation of his word to our hearts.